back, isn't it? Yeah, I want you to turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 24, second part of at least four, I think, it's looking like. We pick things certain ways. One process is elimination, isn't it? How we pick things and learn how to get things. We look at it, we make choices, we narrow it down. Somehow we got in our mind a way it's got to be. When it comes to salvation and soul winning, that's what we started last week. How the Bible teaches soul winning. I'm so grateful for the grace of God, because there are so many of men's methods and ways to think that they can get folks saved. There's a bunch of them, isn't there? Most of them are at the end of a church service. And usually every church adopts a certain method or a certain understanding. And the grace of God that I praise is there's so much work that's done before that even happens, that the Lord saves in spite of us. We're not saved for our works, and we're not saved by saying a program thing that somebody writes down. We're saved because our heart's been changed. And whatever method people choose, for the most part, I don't have that much of a problem with them. But I like the process and the plan that God gives us in Genesis that we're going to go over. We're the bride of Christ, the church, aren't we? And there are scriptures, and we read last week, we're going to read again, how Abraham sends the servant out to get a bride for Isaac. That right there encapsulates everything that the Bible teaches about being saved or winning souls. And it's not the process of anything but illumination, the process of illumination to give us more light. The hardest thing I've ever done is to talk to folks that aren't sure later on in life. They get older, they get out of church, they lay down more than they ever have. And I get a lot of calls and a lot of conversations. Preacher, do you really think? And we get a chance to sit down and talk. There's been some times where I meaningly went to talk to somebody and it wasn't going to work out. So I said, Lord, I'm not going to waste anybody's time. I'm going to pray. And there's been many times I've got to that point and I've prayed and started to go out the door and they'll say, Preacher, wait. There's something I want to talk to you about. Well, anyway, the Lord works out our salvation for us, doesn't he? He's the one that does everything. And then we obey or disobey. And somehow, some way, we've got to come together for my sake, for sure. And the Lord's helped me to do that. And I can show you last week and today. But we need a process that God controls in our lives to give people understanding that takes away all the doubt, that helps folks to see how they need to continue to build and grow on that salvation. It's important, isn't it? Not to be in some situation later on in doubt or have problems. And we all have doubts, don't we? I do. I have a lot of doubts. But I think this particular way the Lord shows us in getting a bride, the marriage, understanding, the wedding, all these things put together, I think it's the greatest picture that God can give us of what salvation is. And that's what I started last week. We want to finish a little bit today and then go just a little bit further the next 2 weeks. But before we get into this morning, I want to ask if you'd bow your heads as we pray. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. Lord, we also understand that, Lord, he's the groom and we're the bride. And Lord, at this time in our lives, spiritually speaking, everyone that's saved in this world, no matter where they go to church, no matter what denomination they are, when they're truly saved by your Spirit that was sent to do that, they are part of the bride. There's not a denominational bride, there's a spiritual bride. And Lord, thank you for your word that helps us to see how this fits together. Lord, my heart, and you know what it is this morning, is to get everybody that hears this word. My prayer and my desire is that there be no doubt of where they stand before you. And then, Lord, if they're standing right, amen. If they're not, they at least know what they need to do. They can expect what's going to happen. And, Lord, they'll be understanding when it comes time to call on your name. Bless us, Lord, in what we read, and bless us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to start in verse 10. We covered the first 9 verses last week, but we're going to go back up in just a little bit for confirmation on 1 or 2 points. Look at verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of the water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now, the greatest word to describe God when it comes to salvation is providence. He provides for us, doesn't he? The thing that we do for our families is we provide for them, don't we? We go to work, we get a salary, we buy groceries, we have insurance and hospitalization. We provide, okay? Providence is how God leads us. And along with providence comes discernment and responsibility. God uses his providence to direct me where I need to go and what I need to do. He uses the discernment that he's given to me that I can discern and choose and be responsible to know that he's guided me in the right way, and I can be right and I can be wrong. This particular time is Abraham sent his servant out to find a bride. He went to the place where he was sent to go. He had 10 camels loaded down with riches from Father Abraham. It wasn't all that Abraham owned, just a little sample, a little bit on each camel. He brought his camels as far as they could go. He brought them to a place where thirsty, tired camels kneeled down. He got to where he could at the end of that day. 10 camels, you've seen it at the zoo, haven't you, or at a parade, where those big old camels can kneel down on their front. I don't guess they got knees, but they can kneel down. And these camels had went a long way. They were empty. They were thirsty. They were tired. Now, while the servant was trying to discern the providence of God and how to get a bride, the first place he came was to that well. And we find out as he was having his camels kneel, he understood in some way that this was the place where all the daughters of men that were around that area would come at that particular time of evening and draw water for all their families. So there was a good place, and in this particular scripture, there was not only a physical place, but this was the place in time that this was happening. He didn't know it. He was obedient. He went out. He took his 10 camels. They made it as far as they could. They kneeled down. They were thirsty. They were tired. And he knew all of a sudden that there's going to be a good thing happen, because all the girls was going to come. And all the girls at that time were the ones that got the water for their families. And he began to think to himself, well, Lord, I need you to direct my paths. He began to pray, didn't he? Lord, I need some help. He was standing there processing, discerning what God was had him to do. And what he did is he began to think, and he says, well, the daughters of men which might have been a whole lot of girls with a whole lot of things to draw with, a lot of kettles, a lot of pots. And this is where they're going to be. He had a problem, though, as he began to process. I think I'm in the right place. I'm pretty sure it's the right time. I'm real sure they're all fixing to be here. They're not now, but when they come, there's going to be many, and I only need one. What am I going to do? I've never had that problem when I was dating any of y'all. I was lucky if I got one to go out with me that would pay and take me back home. But I did. I found one. She did that. Coupons and all. Coupons are good, aren't they? But you see the problem that he had as a servant. He was sent out by Abraham the master. And he was supposed to find a bride. And he was supposed to bring her back. Everything seemed pretty good. Everything seemed to fall together. But how in the world is he going to choose? Is it by looks? Is it by age? What would be the thing that he would need to do to be accurate, to pick with the responsibility that was awesome? To bring back a bride for Abraham's son, Isaac. That's a problem, isn't it? I mean, it's good to be in the right place. It's good at the right time. You have everything you need, but Lord, you need to help me. As I process this, as I discern where I've came and what I've done and how it's worked out, I think maybe he would have said, well, I'll start one by one as they come out. And Lord, let it be that whoever I ask for a drink of water would not only give me a drink of water, but would offer to feed or to drink all, give drink to all the camels. So what he did, instead of him choosing, he cast his lot. They did that in the Old Testament, didn't they? We have the Holy Spirit today to give us the direction, don't we? Through prayer, we get guidance, don't we? But back then, it's the way they did it. So he more or less cast a lot. He said, Lord, let me put this on it, and this will help me to know not to choose a wife for your son by my definition. Not for me to have to be the one to pick, but Lord, for you to choose, and you pick. And I could just picture him almost getting tired already before they got there. I wonder how many is going to be here. I just prayed this, and if the Lord answers my prayer, then I'm going to have to ask one. And what if there's a bunch, so ask one at a time? How do I do this? So he had a problem, didn't he? When we honestly go with what the Lord has for us to do, we're going to find out each step of the way that we get, it's clear. Step one. Okay, Lord, that was good. Thank you. Now, next, what I do. And then along down the line, as we learn and we look back, we can see how the Lord worked us through things, can't we? Everybody that's here this morning can understand where they've got today and look back and see how God has led them where they're at now, can't they? Can't you? And what happens is we're just like this servant, that we're finally to a place each time, and the responsibility gets greater because it gets closer. And the closer it gets, the harder it is to want to make sure we don't fail God and we don't learn a lesson that we'll never forget. So he has some problems, and we need to understand that we have the same problems. The more we obey God, the more strict that God wants us to be, and it's pretty strict how we're supposed to live, isn't it? We need some help. And we can cast a lot. We can throw out a fleece, so to speak. We can have the Lord show us a lot of things. But what we need to understand is the servant is the one that has to understand this, not the bride, right? Not the prospective bride doesn't have any clue, does she? And in this particular scripture, the servant of Abraham, not as only his servant, but he also represents the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the one, with the Lord's help together, to search out somebody, to convict, to draw, to become a Christian, to be born again, to be saved, to be a Christian. That's the Spirit's job, isn't it? The Holy Spirit of God's responsibility is what we see now, not the bride's, not us. We don't have a responsibility in any way except what the bride does. We're going to see what she does in just a little bit. But the Lord is the one that chooses for us. The responsibility and how things unfold is what we get to see. If you ever wondered how the Spirit of God works in salvation, here it is. So you see a place, a well, thirsty camels, a servant that's praying to the Lord, knowing that there's fixing to be some prospects come. And it's so overwhelming in his heart and his life that he says, Lord, I need a little help. And here's how I need you to help me. And he put it out, didn't he? The one that comes and I ask her for a drink of water that says, I'll give you a drink and I'll water all your camels. That's the one right there. Let's follow along. Keep going. Let's see. Verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again under the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. That's a lot of work, isn't it? I don't know. I tried to look this up, but I guess the average 2-hump camel in them days could hold a couple hundred gallons of water. That's a lot of water, isn't it? And it's pretty sure that every one of them was empty, wasn't it? And what's so good about providence, and what's so good about answered prayer, and what's so good about God using this servant to find a bride, is it didn't happen any way like he prayed about it. He did get one answer, didn't he? And that's all he said was, let me say this to her, and if I say this to her and she does it, that's the one. He didn't have to worry in his mind about anything else, because the Bible says that when all the women from the town, the daughters of the men of the city, came out, she ran ahead of everybody. There was only one that was out in front. There was only one that was way far ahead of everybody. And we know, he doesn't know, but we know she was exactly the right family, the right kindred, the right place. Everything was just right. She was beautiful. She was a virgin. She would be everything and more than what anybody could ever imagine. Isn't that how God leads us? That's what marriage is like. That's what the Bible is like, that Jesus is our bride, our groom, and we're his bride. And we are going to be pure. We are going to be holy. We're saved. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us now. We're right, aren't we, for that thing? We're not in the flesh. We're not right with God. But to become the bride, we need to be saved. When we're saved and we receive the Holy Spirit, we're on our way, aren't we? Now, what was good was Rebekah came out to him and he ran to her and she answered right. But he never in a million years could have ever imagined that she would come to him. He had it all in his mind that, well, what I'm going to have to do, since I've been sent and since I've been given this responsibility, it's up to me to go completely farther and do everything myself. And it didn't work that way. We, today, as the servant, not the Holy Spirit, but as this physical, literal servant, we're the same way. We got somewhere in our head when it comes to salvation that we're told to win souls. We're told to preach the gospel. We're even told to invite people to come to the Lord in Revelation, the very last chapter. It says, even the bride says, come. He that thirsts, say, come. Whosoever will that's received the Lord, you need to invite folks to be saved. We think, in our case, just like the servant, that it's all up to us, that we've been sent. We've been going here. We see how things line up sometimes. We put out a fleece. We do a whole lot of stuff. But never in a million years, when it works out right, would we ever imagine that people come to us and ask us, what do I need to do to be saved? That's everywhere in the Bible. That's why I've got a problem with a whole lot of the soul-winning methods that people use. People will tell me about Pentecost. Well, they were pricked in their heart. Yeah, and they stopped the preacher. Before he even got to done preaching, before there was even an invitation, they were pricked in their heart and they say, what must we do to be saved? Then he said, repent and be baptized. That's the way it worked, wasn't it? But the greatest thing that we need to know about salvation happened here, and it happened in another place that I want to show you. But the reasoning is, this morning, the servant was sent out to look for a bride, and God brought a bride to him. We're sent out to win souls, and God sends souls to us when it's time, when it's His will, and it works out real good, doesn't it? Hold your place there and go back to Genesis chapter 2. And it's okay if you have a spell when I read this. I did. I'm just glad I was by myself and them two cats. Can't get rid of them. Anybody want a cat? No. Anyway, Genesis 2:21. Are you there? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord of God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Isn't that what it says? She was his bride. He was asleep. He didn't have anything, no knowledge at all. We're asleep. We don't have any knowledge. We don't see what the servant shows us in Genesis 24. We don't see how that God sent out the Holy Spirit, didn't he? He sent the Holy Spirit out just like he did the servant. And he sent him out to where there's a lot of people that are thirsty and tired and ready to get a drink. And we have sometimes understanding that we don't need to have, that it's all up to us. And if we would use this formula, if we'd use this way, if we would do this way, then everybody... And then there's doubt after that. Nobody knows what they did sometimes. But God brought Eve to Adam. When we get married, there's the same picture. We're all up here, nervous and scared and looking out. And then there comes the music. And then they come back. The Father is bringing the bride to the groom. Right? We don't have to take so much responsibility, so much stress, because it's God that brings people to Himself. Doesn't He? And when we are sent out by the providence of God and we discern with a great responsibility, we let God take care of it. We don't manipulate. We don't talk people in, even though it's such a tempting thing to do, isn't it? You want somebody to get saved, but somebody that gets saved has to work on the inside. We can get them to say what we want. We can get them to believe what we want. Everybody that's saved has said so many different things and they're still saved, because it was what was in the heart. And when somebody gets married, that's why I like this so well. I've got to preach some, got to be in one. It was all good. We stood before the pastor, before the church, before God. We sent out invitations. We rented a building. We bought a cake. We got halfway tuxes. We got a girl that played the wedding song, and that's all she knew. And somebody said she's a good reference and she's a good piano player, but she only knew one song, and it was dun 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 all the way from the time they sat down until we was done. We did all that. We can rent everything. We can get the reception ready. We can get everything planned. But we was not married until we said one thing. Y'all know what that is. Will you take? I will. Will you marry her? I will. Will you marry him? I will. And that happens on the inside, doesn't it? Between me and the Lord. And the Holy Spirit gets me ready because I'm his bride. And he went out to get me. He went out to find me. He went out to draw me to him so he could bring me to Jesus. And he did his work pretty much before anybody ever knew it. The faith that it takes to get saved happens inside a person before they even get to church. Before maybe they even understand there's somebody trying to get them to say something. But the wedding ceremony is the greatest picture of how God wins souls. He never ever thought, and what a shock there was, that God already took care of it. God answered his prayer. She did come. He asked her for some water and she gave it to him. Let me water your camel. Just like he prayed. And there was only one. He didn't make her run ahead, did he? She did what she always done every day. What a girl. She was able to spend hours, I'm sure, gallon after gallon after gallon, camel after camel after camel. That was her. Or he thought. Because he didn't read what we read. That's all he knew about her. We get to folks and we are the servant. And we don't know what's in a heart, do we? We don't know where people have come from. We don't know what they understand. We know they're eager. We know they're wanting to be saved. We know that maybe sometimes they might have had, who knows what went on. I remember the very first time I preached for a couple years before anybody came to get saved. Miss Vicki Starnes one day, 50 years old, had heart surgery. She came running up the aisle, sobbing and crying and crying, I need to get saved. It scared me to death. I wasn't ready. I didn't know what to do. I need to get help. I mean, if you'd have heard me preach, you'd have known, oh, he's got this covered. It scared me. I wasn't ready. I was ready to talk. I was ready to present. Ready for the lights to go out. Maybe this will go on in a minute. But I had to learn something. It wouldn't have mattered if I'd have been polished. It wouldn't have mattered if I'd have known more. That was the place and that was the time. It had built up so many times before. Remember when y'all got saved? Very rarely it was that very instant, the very first time you heard the word or that you was convicted. I don't know of anybody. Most everybody, 99.9%, whatever it is, have been drawn and drawn and drawn and understood a little. Isn't that the way it goes? And you know why I believe that's true? Because Jesus said that unless my Father that sent me draws them, not drops a bomb, not makes it so clear that they know exactly what they're doing. It doesn't work that way, does it? Here a little, there a little, the Bible teaches. They understand a little here and a little there, and it adds. That was her day. God was ready and she was ready, and she was just as saved if I was ready. To receive it and to learn and to understand. I've learned a little bit since then. But the right girl came, and it wasn't because of this servant. It was because of the direction of the Spirit of God that Abraham prayed to send him out. Go up to verse 3. I'm just going to read through this. We've got a lot of this on last week's message. Here's what he says. I will make thee swear by the Lord. He's talking to the servant, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Don't take a pagan wife. Where Abraham came away from. Learn that in Sunday school today. It says, but thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which he spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. There never was a plan that the wife was getting. She didn't do it. And you bring Isaac to there. That's not going to work. Jesus isn't coming back because he's at the right hand of the Father, isn't he? On the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus is there and the Holy Spirit's here and in here, isn't he? He's the one that's going to find the bride. And there was a chance, and there is a chance, that the Holy Spirit can come and draw and ask. And he'd be rejected, isn't there? Responsibility, discernment. There's people, the only way they can ever go to hell is for God himself to spiritually stalk to their heart and say, I want to save you. I came to save you. Jesus died for you. And you know, people reject. Don't, that's the only way you can go to hell is reject. And it's not just one time. It's over and over and over again. But this was all covered by Abraham. He covered that my son's not going. You need to bring her back. He says she might not come. If she does, the responsibility is off of you. But I believe she'll come because God promised Abraham that he would send his spirit with him to make sure that he got the right one. Good story so far, isn't it? We know more than what the servant does because there's fixing to be a problem. The problem that he had in verse 21, you can almost feel when you read this, the excitement just goes cold. He stood there and the man, wondering at her, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He stood there wondering, and he held his peace because he still didn't know if his journey was prosperous. It looks real good. We followed everything. I prayed and God answered. She came to me. Everything seems right. But there was one thing that was left out that would change it all. She needed to be of a certain family. Didn't she? And he didn't know that. We've got folks that just are so sure that, oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. I've got authority and I'm going to go here and I'm going to do that. That's just not right, is it? Even in the scriptures, we're taught the strictness, the carefulness is what God wants us to have. I've seen a lot of folks caught up in a lot of excitement. They would do almost anything. Some folks caught up in so much sin that they begin to have their heart broke just a little bit. Now, what's happened to the bride is real and it won't be changed and she's the right one. But the servant doesn't know that. By faith, people are saved. By faith, people come to God and God goes to them pretty much before we even know about it. Before we pronounce them Christian, before we pronounce them saved, sometimes we wonder, is this just excitement? This is caught up. My sister and me both were saved at the same time, same revival. Back when I was 11, and she was, I guess, almost 13. Through the years, I've been around a lot of different times where it was easier to get excited than others. It's always like that. We don't know. He didn't know. He wondered, didn't he? And he held his peace. He says, I want to be excited. I want to get finished with this. But what I've been sent to do and what I've been sent to be strict about, it's not clear yet. Verse 22. And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring and half a shekel weight, and took bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Now, he threw it at her pretty quick. I believe that he gave her the bracelets because of the work that she did. He took care of himself. If he'd have had somebody water, he needs to pay. That's not his water. I believe that's all it is. It doesn't have anything with salvation, or she would be working, and he'd be working for salvation. I believe it means that he just gave her what it cost in his estimation of the work that she did. He gave her these bracelets, and then he says, whose daughter are you? And is there enough place in your father's house for us to stay tonight? Verse 24, and she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. It was her. It was the right place. It was the right time. It was the right family. In the providence of God, God led the servant to the right bride. And he couldn't have peace until he completely finished what he was supposed to do. I want to have peace about folks, don't you? I'd like to know they're saved. And you know, I find out that it's true and it's right, and I have no more holding my peace or wondering, because they begin to grow, they begin to study, they begin to learn. It doesn't matter how they came. It doesn't matter what they said, because the Holy Spirit already took care of that in their heart. And they said, I will. And they're saved, aren't they? And then I find out, he knew he'd done everything he could do. He followed the providence of God strictly. He discerned his way, every step of the way. Turns out that it was right. And look at verse 26. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Oh, how good it is. You know, the next best thing to knowing I'm saved is knowing somebody else knows they're saved. And they know it because he's working from in there out to here. Isn't that a good way to know? Do you want to know this morning how you can know? Not that you're saved. I can't give that to you. But as a pastor, as a servant, as a leader, verse 27, we're going to show you how you can have peace, power, understanding, the doubts are gone, and you can know you're the Lord's. Look at verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute, empty, broken, my master, of his mercy and his truth. He said, I have not been left destitute of the power of God because of his mercy and his truth. I have abundance of truth. I have abundance of mercy. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren, because I was in the way, in God's way, in God's will. I obeyed him to go out. I obeyed him to watch. I obeyed him to discern. I followed his providence. I was excited, but I held my peace until I knew. And now I know Abraham's father, God, has prospered my way because I was in the way. You need to get in the way. in the will of God. Be obedient to the Lord. And we can be used, can't we? I want to know, don't you? I want to be a part of folks hearing the gospel, don't you? I want to be a part of the real power and the real strength to understand and lead somebody to know that God loves them and that He sent the Holy Spirit to come after them, and how that God's the one that brought Eve to Adam. How God's the one that brought Isaac a bride. How that when I got married, God brought Sandy to me. And how one of these days in the future, God's going to bring the bride to His Son Jesus. And it's going to be an awesome day. But are you qualified? What does it take to be qualified to be in the way? The process of illumination. I know I'm saved because He's in me. I know I'm saved, and this is the greatest way in my life and all those around that I've talked to through the years, is it wasn't the first time He talked to me. Preacher, there was nights I couldn't sleep. There were sermons I couldn't get over. There were instances in my life that it broke me down and I knew I was lost. And by faith, not repeating certain words, not doing a specific thing that a certain church tells, but a sorrowful heart that has no words, that God can see and look down. And you can understand through the illumination or the light that God gives us that I had that contract between me and God. That's not even a good word. That I know He asked me if I wanted to be saved. Will you be mine? And you said, I will. I don't understand why folks, well, you don't need to ask. Well, how do you get it? When Jesus says you have not because you ask not. And when I've asked, I've got it. Because He's the one that asked me. And there's got to be some way when the Bible says that we need to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. What are we confessing? That He came to me. And He made it clear with His light that I was lost, and I knew I was lost. And I called on His name. I believed. I prayed. I confessed. I said, I will. All different ways of people calling on the name of the Lord. And they know that that happened. What a powerful word that God has for us that we can know. And this is what needs to be preached everywhere. This is not Baptist. This is not anything else. This is not denominational. This is how the Bible teaches us that God gets a bride for His Son. He sent the Holy Spirit out, didn't He, to where we're at. And every one of us, one at a time, ran to Him. And He ran to us. And ever since then, we've been together. Isn't that the way it happens? And what I want to do today, my desire and my prayer, is for everybody here to understand that you are a child of God. You're saved. You're in the part of the bride of Christ because He came to you. You surrendered. You believed. You gave your life. You gave your heart. All those things are in the same category. It's pleasing to the Lord. And the next thing is to grow in the way that we can grow. But until then, we need to understand that there's a process. Illumination means light giving. And I remember this morning that I got some light here and I got some light here. I understand in the scripture today that this servant himself had to have light, more light, more light, more light, didn't he? And God gave it to him. I don't know what light that you need, but the Holy Spirit of God that's coming after you to bring you back, he knows, doesn't he? It's not a matter of anything except receiving the Lord and saying, I will. Because I know you're asking and I know you're calling and I know you're drawing. It's not the first time, it's not the last, but Lord, let it be today. I believe the Lord saves, don't you? And I believe he's not finished. But if you're here today and you're not saved, these things should happen. They will happen. And what I would like for people to do is completely, right now today, say, I know that I'm saved. And because that's my prayer and it's a spiritual prayer, I trust the Lord will do that in his time whenever you and him get together. May already have, huh? But we're not here to manipulate. We're not here to push. We're here to be a servant. As strictly, as carefully, as prayerfully as we can, to say Jesus loves you. He calls you. You receive him and you'll know it. If you're here and you're not, talk to me sometime today. Come up here in a little bit. We'll talk. We'll pray. If you are saved, amen. I'm glad I know, don't you? And I want to know. If you're here and you're saved and you need prayer, I'll pray with you. If you need to come, I won't bother you. You can pray with the Lord. The altars are open. But today's my prayer that things on our hearts and our life will get settled this morning. I want to ask you to stand this morning and bow your heads.